so grateful that once again we can come into the house of bread, be among brethren of like precious faith, that, Lord, we can worship you freely, Lord. Lord, look to you to meet every need tonight. You've heard every request. More than that, Lord, you've met every need already. So, Lord, we're thankful that we can trust you. We know who we have believed, and yes, we are persuaded that you're able to keep that which we've committed unto you. So, Lord, we also commit this service to you, asking you, Lord, to have your way in every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Had a real interesting time this afternoon. I went to take a look at my notes, and they weren't where I put them. They were gone. And I searched all the places, you know, like we do, and I couldn't find them. And they could only be in a couple places, but they weren't there. But thankfully, I had some other draft notes that I had, so I still can do this. Of course, you know it was the grace of God. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here, and you wouldn't be sitting out there. So anyway, saints, God put something in Malachi 3:6 that is common with all the Word of God. It is the one thing that controls how you feel about everything. It says, I am the Lord, I change not. So no matter what you're facing, God has commented on it. Do you need healing, deliverance, a vision, love, passion, whatever you need, God has an answer for you already. And guess what? He's not changing. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. People say, when they're speaking of themselves and their past, I was this sort of person or that sort of person. We used to do this or that. Sometimes you would almost think they're bragging about it. I've got news for you. That's not your group, your team, your crew, whatever, anymore. Colossians 1:13 says, you have been delivered from the power of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. You ain't the same anymore.
Amen.
It's no matter what anyone has to say about you. Christ would have to change, and Malachi 3:6 says that's not about to happen. Saints, Proverbs 1:14 says, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Basically, it's saying, let's all do the same thing. Most people still try to do the same thing. They call it being politically correct these days. They call it being politically correct. And whether it was the same style of clothes, remember bell-bottom pants and other things we used to do, be different. Well, looked around, we were all doing the same thing. Had the same music, the same way of talking, whether it was music or anything else that we called it. It was all the same thing. Strange, right? And that thing could be anything. Mine used to be, I called them spoons. It was a style of sideburns that I had. Everyone else had lamb chops. I had spoons. That was my thing. Okay? So, your thing was usually the best thing, the last thing that you checked on before you left for the day. I remember when big afros were the style to wear. And as I started getting older, my hair, and yes, I had hair, started getting thinner. So I would brush it real hard and try to make it stand better. Well, one night, Sister Hill came up to me and looked at me with that look that she could give, and just said, no. Not harsh, not judgy, just kind of like, you know that's not working for you. I thought about it. And I said, well, you know, she's right. It's not working. From then on, I started shaving my head. And then also remember the peace sign, the Black Power salute, smoking weed. Back in the day, that was something that we called turning on. We were very lucky if we weren't turned in. The point that I'm trying to make is that fads go out of style. Oh, they try to come back every now and then. They don't last very long. It's always very temporary. But even those days, there was a starting point. Romans, first chapter. Tells us this. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Just think of the things we used to say and do. Foolishness. Ephesians 2:2 called it walking according to the course of this world, according to the promise of according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, there are only three types of children: children of God, children of disobedience, which we just spoke about, and children of wrath, are those who have made the ultimate decision or choice to reject Christ and are headed for a lake of fire. But we thought we were doing our own bidding, our own thing, but did not know that Romans 11:36 just existed, which says, of him and through him and to him are all things, good, bad, big, small, easy, hard. You see, he is the real starting point. Amen. And it's all to his glory. Imagine that. Think of that. You see, you have been espoused to Christ. And every encounter we have with another person or thing leaves us with one thing, an impression, whether good or bad, knowledge, frustration, joy, sadness, or one of 100 different thoughts, feelings, or emotions. Remember, though, God only has one main purpose for you, and that is to marry his son. Everything in our life started with Jesus, and he has proven his love for us over and over. Saints, every time we have an experience, we search our hearts and our minds to try to relate to it, to find out something that it reminds us of. We very quickly investigate our lives, our past experience with men or women or a car, a tool, anything. Some you still have, some you wish you still had, most have vanished away. Speaking of your life, what is your life? In James 4:14, it says, it is a vapor that appeareth for a little while, a little time, and then vanishes away. But what makes up your life? Your spouse, your children, your home, your bank account, your job, your blank. If I were to ask you, what is the one thing above all others in your life, what would that be? I hope that you would say Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation. I wonder what the thing was that caused them to replace their first love. Whatever it was, it apparently wasn't worth it compared to what they gave up. As a short sidetrack, let me tell you a little about how I came to the Lord. One time, I never really wanted to do what everyone else was doing. I knew my life was the one that God gave me. So I wanted to see it through my own eyes, not through someone else's eyes or their viewpoint. The one person I needed to be happy with was myself, yet for all my independence, I was not happy. Then one day, while visiting someone I knew from my old high school days, I was introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. The more I found out about him and what he had done for me and had given me, the happier I became. Freedom. No more taskmaster. I was on my way to heaven and didn't have to work for it either. Just believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and invite him into my heart. I was born again and more. I was a new creation. Like Galatians 2:20. I shouldn't have to read it because everybody, I'm sure, already knows it. But I love it. I love reading it. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Old things had passed away, and I had a new life, a better life, Christ's own life in me, and I in him. And I couldn't change that even if I was fool enough to want to. And this new life wasn't a fad either. It would always be in style. Amen. For the very first time, I had happiness, true happiness. So naturally, I wanted to find out more about it. So, in my looking, I turned to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And one of the reasons for that is because we hear so much about the faith of Abraham. So I wanted to find out a little bit more about that. The 8th chapter of Hebrews starts with, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I thought that was pretty interesting. So I thought I'd look it up. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, he talks about the promise. So let's read that. The first verse starts like this. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of the country, and from the land, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee that shall bless thee, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and shall curses thee, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I guess I should use these it probably would help me out a little bit. So that was the promise. So I thought about it some more, and I remembered what I had just read in Hebrews. So I turned back to Hebrews. Eleventh chapter. Verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Doesn't that sound a little bit like heaven? It does to me. So back to before in Philippians 3:4. The Apostle Paul laid out what he could claim in the flesh. He said, though I might also, starting with verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So I would ask you, what is your claim to fame? Why, I go to Living Waters Tabernacle. Just a side note, it's not the place, it's what's lifted up in this place. How about, do you know anyone who could act more godly than I can act? Here's another one. I have put in so much work for the Lord today, I've done more than anybody else. What, Lord? We're your vessels of mercy. Well, glory to God. Listen, saints, unless you give it to God and honor him, it's worthless. That's what Paul found out. When it comes to choices, choose God. And if you choose God and give it to him, my, oh my, what he can do with it. Just look around here. Royalty, royalty, royalty. And after you've looked around, go find a mirror and look into it. Because 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with open face, beholding as in the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know you're not the same as when you first came in here. Everybody's different. You know you're different. You've changed. Those things I counted as an advantage to me, now I see them as a distraction. And things that interfere with me on this race course, they are a distraction and an obstacle to be surmounted. God has no need of my fine attributes. But let's stop here for a minute. Is there anything or anyone that could stop you from running the race? Well, you know, 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Amen. So let me ask you that question again. Is there anything or anyone that can stop you from running the race to win Christ? I don't think so. Well, let me ask another question. What's the most important thing to you? Now, I didn't say what's your priority. Priorities can change with the change of events. What do you love above all else? Christ? Philippians 3:12 says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I like that. Let me repeat that. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Corny Bear put it like this, but I press onward, if indeed I might lay hold on that for which Christ also laid hold on me. The Apostle Paul continues in Philippians 3:13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That word reach or reaching means to stretch forth like a racer at the end of his race when he's breaking through the finish line. That kind of strain, and that's what he expects us to do. Some other one things. Psalms 27. Says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Isn't the best and most productive time with Jesus, isn't that during the time it's just you and him just talking? Song of Solomon in 1:2 says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. What do you think he's talking about? You do know, don't you? What sound is sweeter to the ear than to hear the Lord say, I love you, over and over in his word? Just shutting everything out and being in his presence is without compare. In the book of Luke, there is an account of the time Martha received Jesus into her house. She had a sister called Mary. You read about that in Luke, the 10th chapter, which I'll turn to. Starting at verse 38, Luke 10:38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bidder therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So I would ask you, what are you cumbered about this evening? In Luke 9:35, we have the story of James, John, and the Lord going up to the Mount Transfiguration. And when James and John, Peter, noticed that, they started right away. They wanted to build booths for those prophets and for the Lord. They must have been working. They must have been putting effort out. But you know what? The Lord stopped them. Actually, it was the Father who stopped them. Amen. So much so that the Holy Father had to stop them when he heard them and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." In John, Jesus healed the sight of the blind man, and you can read about it in chapter 9 of John. Now when the Pharisees and the others were disputing about what day Jesus had healed this blind man and who Jesus was, they brought the healed blind man to them and before them questioned him as to whether Jesus was a sinner or not. He answered, the blind man did. He said, "Whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." This man didn't need to be some great orator or some great or rich person or have a big place. He just told them what happened, and we're still talking about him. Amen. Isn't that what we all can do? We call it our testimony. You know, saints, Christmas is right around the corner, and people will be singing songs and giving gifts. But there is one thing, one gift, one unspeakable gift, hallelujah, that we all can share. You can read about it in 2 Corinthians 9:15. So I would implore you to do this one thing. Look into this gift. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Press, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I hope this has been of some benefit to you. And so we'll just close with prayer. Heavenly Father, you're wonderful. You're amazing. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your unspeakable gift. Where would any of us be without Jesus in our life? We're so grateful. We ask you now, Lord, as we go our separate ways, that you continue to stir our hearts and give us a hunger for the Word of God. For that's all we have. That's all we need. We need Jesus. We ask you now, Lord, to continue to stir our hearts. In Jesus' name.